Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How you doing, everybody? Glad to be back. I'm going to be doing two episodes this week, but first off, as usual, I want to take the time to thank each and every last one of you guys for listening to my podcast. I appreciate it. So please tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell somebody, but it really means something that you guys take time out of your day to listen to me. So thank you. Oh, man. So where do we... I got to go back a little bit in time. This will be for the Thanksgiving weekend. I just got busy and just didn't have time. And I always say I got to make time. But I'm trying to think of what my milestone. That was a long pause. I'm trying to think what happened with Miles while we were in Rochester. He's really putting it together. He's really understanding how, you know, like how my parents are my mom and dad. He understands that Madison is Danielle and Eddie's kid and whose house we're at. And we're not, you know, in Virginia. So it's really cool to see him kind of put the family dynamic together. He's starting to get it. And it's cool. He had this weird thing where we went to Danielle's house. That's my sister. And he just was like adamant about taking a bath there, which is where I don't know what they did over there last time he was there. But he was like, I got to take a bath, Dad. Just got to take a bath. So I thought that was cute. Thought that was funny. But that's the milestone. He's really starting to put the whole, this is my family. You know, these people all kind of look like me. This is Dad. This is Dad's mommy and daddy. You know, this is Dad's sister. So it's pretty cool to see him putting it together and seeing him and Madison interact with each other. Cause she's walking, she's babbling a little bit, and it's funny whenever she wants to play with the letters or, you know, numbers that he's playing with. He's like, no, these are dangerous. So that's his like, get the hell out of here. Don't touch my stuff. These are dangerous. So that's the milestone. So moving on, this episode is, I think my, it seems like my podcast has been pretty heavy lately. So I appreciate those who've been sticking with me. I've just been going through a lot of stuff. I know I try to make this shit funny, but I like to talk about real stuff too. And I apologize if it's too heavy and it's not funny enough for you. So I appreciate those who are sticking with me and appreciating me just kind of talk about my life and how I feel about things and what I'm going through. But I try to make it funny, but I can't always promise it. So I appreciate it. So with that being said, this one might be a little somber, but it's just how I was really feeling at the time. But we ended up going back to Rochester for Thanksgiving. I had a great time. That's my hometown for those who don't know. So we left out of here a day before Thanksgiving or so. I can't remember what day exactly, but we left out, drove out. No issues there. Had a great time. I got new tires before I left. $600 for tires for a Prius. I figured I got the smaller car, smaller tires. It's not going to be expensive, but I kind of got duped into buying some decent tires, some 90,000 mile tires. I do a lot of driving. I said, fuck it. I'll spend the money. I need it. I need good tires. I need good headlights. I do a lot of driving. So that kind of sucked, just shelling out so much money for my car. Then like 2 weeks before her starter went out, her car, that's like $700. So it's just having a car is cool, but so goddamn expensive. And now she's got a tail light out and it's a LED. You can't just replace one bulb. You got to replace the whole goddamn assembly. Brand new was like $400. I found one on Amazon for eBay for like $145. I gotta order that. I mean, just for a starter and a tail light is like almost $1,000. I said, I have no idea. Just $1,000 for two pieces. $1,000, almost $1,000 for two pieces. I think brand new that car is probably like $35,000 because she has like a Lincoln Zephyr. I just don't see. I don't get it. It's just ridiculous. $1,000 just for a goddamn headlight. I couldn't even imagine what it would cost if you just built your own car piece by piece. It would probably cost you like $2 billion to build a fucking $20,000 Ford Focus if you did it piece by piece. But, so get there, no problems. I go out, meet some friends. Actually, yeah, a couple friends. I'm sitting there drinking at a bar, talking to a friend, and then in walks two people I went to middle and high school with. So that was cool, seeing Justin and Vince. We catch up. We're doing a lot of, you know, reminiscing about the good old days. Like, this dude, Vince, it's funny to see people. Now they're grown. They have kids and responsibility. And like, yo, the last time I saw you, you were literally pulling your balls out on the third floor at Aquinas, squeezing them together and saying fly eyes over and over again. If you've never seen fly eyes, they look like hairy nutsack. That's exactly what his balls look like. That was the last time. That's like the last thing I really remember about Vince. And then to see him, you know, almost 20 years later, kids, mortgage, responsible. So it's like, yeah, you used to pull your balls out right in front of social studies class. And you would probably go to jail for that now. But we did a lot of fun catching up, man. Shout out to my boy Richard. Mo Fair, a.k.a. Dick Ballhair. Yep, Dick Ballhair is his name. I remember he called me back in the day. It's probably like 1996. It was during our Christmas break for school. He called me to let me know that practice was canceled due to the bad weather. And my cousin Jermaine was like, yo, who is that? I go, oh, that's my boy Rich Mallfair. He goes, what? Dick Ballhair? And I remember dying laughing, being like 16. I thought that shit was hilarious. So we go back to school, and I'm like, yo, my cousin called Rich Dick Ballhair. And folks, it's been 20 years later, and the name sticks. The name still sticks to this day, and Jermaine and Rich have never met, and he gave this dude a nickname. Insane. I took a picture with Rich, and I sent it to a couple of my buddies who are on the basketball team. They go, oh, shit, Dick Ballhair. So I think that's funny, man, that they've never met, and he nicknamed this guy throughout high school, throughout college, and even when he's 36 years old, people still call him Dick Ballhair. I think that's pretty dope. So, yeah, we hang out. We switched it up this year, man. My sister actually hosted Thanksgiving this year. It sucks, man, getting older. Our family is a lot bigger, so we can't do it like we used to. Back in the day, we used to go to my Aunt Wanda's house right there on Strong Street. We used to go there every year. You know, you put your sweater on. We would go upstairs in my cousin's room and play, and, you know, it's time for dinner. We would come down. But now our family is so big, it's just like they do their own thing with all their kids and grandkids. And, you know, my mom used to do, she started doing stuff for her house a few years ago, but, you know, her foot's messed up. So then my sister hosted it for the first time at her house, and it was cool. So thank you to Danielle and Eddie for having us at their house. I mean, we didn't have a whole turkey. We did some smoked turkey legs. We had ham, you know, and all the other usual suspects. But it was fun, man, to have the whole family there. My sister Kelly was out of town with her husband and sister in Boston. I guess they had a great time. But, yeah, we had fun, man. It's nothing like sitting back and watching your kids play together. It's just such a weird thing, you know. Just you go through this journey of life and you slowly switch positions, you know. It just seemed like yesterday it was just us, the kids. You know, you just show up, someone yells it's time to eat, and you just eat your food and just enjoy it, nap, get up, eat some more. Now you got to do all the prep, you got to pay for everything, and I had a good time, man. So I hope everyone else enjoyed their Thanksgiving. Now, what I want to get into now is it's pretty sad. So if you don't want to be brought down during this holiday season, but it just gave me a lot to think about and a lot to reflect on. And I think, let me say this first. This shit at things, it's getting ridiculous, man. The Black Friday is getting ridiculous. I mean, now they're opening up stores at 3 o'clock on Thanksgiving. It's just like you can't even pray to be thankful for anything before somebody's running off and trying to buy some shit. I mean, it's disgusting. I don't even know if it can. Can it really get any worse? Can it? I mean, they're probably at some point just going to start handing out Thanksgiving dinners at the stores. It's like, just fucking come eat here. Matter of fact, if you eat here, we'll give you an extra 15% off at that shitty-ass TV that you never heard of. That's probably got a bug in it planted by the Chinese so they can infiltrate the houses here in America, get more intel about our lifestyle and the shit we like to buy, and then hike those prices up. No, I'm just kidding. Just went off on a tangent. But it's just sad, man. It's like people can't even take the time out to enjoy anything. I mean, it just... But I think it's kind of inappropriately appropriate, if that makes sense. Or did I say that backwards? Just to show you how thankful we're really not. Just to show you how much of consuming pieces of shit we've become in this country. It's just, even on the day to give thanks, we can barely even give. It's like, I'm thankful for, you know, this 55-inch flat screen Hitachi TV I'm about to get in 20 minutes. Thank you. All right, wrap my shit up. Matter of fact, I don't need to eat. They're serving turkey at Kohl's. It's going to be interesting to see. I really think that at some point in time, they will start just fucking serving the dinners right there at the store. You just go into the employee break room and just fucking eat right there. It's sad, man. But, so it's getting late in the evening, and my Uncle Curtis, my grandfather's brother, lives in Rochester, and his wife passed away. Now it's just him, and he's almost 90 years old. So my mom and my aunt and I, we go to the nursing home where he lives, and it's not the worst nursing home, but it's definitely not the nicest nursing home. And you go in, it's a holiday, and you just see, I mean, just people like in the hallway, just staring off into space, sitting, you know, in a wheelchair. You look into people's rooms, and they're just sitting in these hospital beds, just staring at the wall, or like some shitty, tiny little TV where the picture is coming in and out, and they got that cold linoleum floor that you've seen in hospitals before. And it's just, they have one little small chest of drawers. It's probably like two drawers on it. And they have a wall locker with another drawer underneath. And it's like, that's it. If you can't fit your shit in there, then I guess you just SOL. So we go and talk to him, man, and it's just like, he's doing okay. He doesn't, he likes it there. You know, there's other people there, but it's just, I have a huge fear of death. I always feared death as a kid. It's just like, I always thought it was the worst thing ever. But I look at some of those people in there, man, and it's just like, time is not fucking nice to people, man. Father Time is so cruel, man. You have these people that used to be young, vibrant, you know, just independent people. And here they are, basically, some of these people just waiting to die. It's just like, you're just waiting for it to be over, you know? And just being there for about an hour and just looking around, the food they serve them, it was not the best food. I felt terrible. And it's just like, this man used to provide for his family. He used to be independent. And now it's just like, you just got this one little hospital bed, a tiny TV, and just other people just literally waiting for their number to get called. And I'm like, you know what? And this is just me. I'm not speaking for my uncle. I don't think he's not depressed or anything like that. Or just looking at the entire situation, I'm like, you know what, man? There's no way in hell I would want to just live like this. There's no way. I don't even care how nice the nursing home is. It's just literally people just laying in beds, just waiting for their fucking heart to stop. That's it. and it's over. And I'm like, you know what? It really just changed my perspective, my outlook on just life and death. And I'm like, you know what? Death is actually a blessing, man, because there's no way I could go on for years like that. There's no way. There's no way. And with me saying all this, if you have an elderly person in your family that no one, go see them. Go see them. If you can, just go down and visit some older people, man, in these homes. I mean, because they're literally just sitting there. They have nothing to do. I look at the schedule that they have, and it's just like, it's almost comparable to the schedule that my son has at his daycare. It's just weird how it just comes so full circle, where it's just like, we're doing coloring activities, and, you know, we got song time. We're doing board games at this time. And it's like, they're just filling these people's time, just waiting for it to be over, man. It just hurt my heart just knowing he was in there. But, you know, at least we came and saw him. I didn't see anybody else's family in there. Maybe they came in earlier in the day, but we brought them a plate of food, you know, kissed them, hugged them. We sat and talked to them. And I would say most of those people don't have that. These people are laying up in these hospital beds with no family on a holiday, you know, and everybody's eating food and they're surrounded by loved ones. And people, you got to think, one day that could be you. Yeah, you're fine now. You're able-bodied now. You can move around. You're not a burden to anybody. So you really have to be thankful, man, because just seeing some of those, I mean, just lonely people, when you walk by, you can just see the look in their eye, like they just want you to come in and say something. Say something to them, ask them how their day, you know, it just hurt me. When we got back to my sister's house, I just sat there at the table by myself for like 20 minutes just thinking about, you know, just life in general and like, you know, I wouldn't want that to be me, you know. And I even asked myself this. I'm not going to feel bad for even thinking about this, but I'll talk to my therapist about it. Some of those people you see in there lonely by themselves, I even asked myself, like, did they somehow deserve this? You know, this existence at this point in their life. And I felt bad for these people, but I also understand everybody's not a fucking saint. I also understand that. My general feeling is I felt bad for these people, but I also asked myself, were there a few people in there who were told throughout their life, like, hey, you can't treat your kids like this. You can't treat people like this because one day you're going to need help and no one's going to be there for you. And guess what? You're going to find yourself alone in a home where nobody's going to come see you. And that crossed my mind too. So I urge some people to think about that. Are you treating people right? Are there people in your family that you should maybe go and visit? If you have time in your schedule, go visit some older folks, man, because I mean it has to be a terrible feeling to feel like you're not contributing anymore, you know, or you're a burden on everybody. It was a very sobering moment. It was a very enlightening moment in my life. Don't get me wrong, I'm still afraid of dying, but I also see death as a blessing, I guess. It's because there's no way I would want to exist for years like that, just wasting away in the bed and not having anyone come see me and being fed food that's not great after you've worked your entire life and then this is what you're left with. You know, you can't go back home. No one will take you in or you've refused to be taken in by anybody. But again, I'm not saying this is how my great uncle feels at all. He actually enjoys it there. It's not the worst place in the world, but I know I just felt bad for the people there, especially it being a holiday. And I know everyone's eating great food. They're laughing and stuff. And you see these people just lonely in this situation. So Again, I apologize for bringing it down. It was just something that was on my mind, and I wanted to share it with people. It was a life-changing experience for me. So I hope you guys enjoyed your family on Thanksgiving. Oh, shit. I forgot to even mention. So I'm not going to end the podcast. I gotta end it on a better note. So that happened. And that next morning, Black Friday, I got up. I went down to Fox 7 in Rochester. I did the news with two other comics there, Ty Youngman and Marianne Sirk. We had a great time. That was my first time ever doing the news. The anchor, she was funny. We had a great time. We were promoting the show that we did at the Comedy Club in Webster that following Saturday. And news went well. Show was the next Saturday night. We get to the show. It was a little light when we showed up. Boom, it sells out. Thank God it sold out. It was a great show. Shout out to Vinny D for hosting. I did about 10-15. Todd did his thing. And then Marianne Sirk, I finally met her. She's also an Aquinas graduate a couple years before me. It was a lot of fun. Everyone seemed to enjoy the show. Shout out to Mr. Poston at Aquinas for getting me a dope-ass hoodie that I got to wear on TV. They said they're going to get Marianne one. So shout out to all the comics that were on that show. Marianne, Todd, and Vinny. Thanks to everybody who came out to that show. My friend Lisa. She actually lives here in Charlottesville from Rochester, too. She said she would come. She showed up, her and her husband. So thank you to her for showing up. Thanks to you. Thank you to all my friends and family that showed up. And I think I ended it well. We had a good time on that show. Marianne's cute little white baby drooled on my hat. Now my hat's worth money. We talked about it. That's how it works. So I'll see you guys again later this week. Peace. There's a show. That's a show.